Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, it's time for Unraveling the Matrix. This is your host, Anarchy Austin Thomas, and I got my good friend Thomas Giles, my co-host. You with me, Tom?
Yes, sir. How you feeling, man?
Oh, I'm feeling really rough. You're going to have to carry the weight, so to speak, today.
Oh, my lungs have the capacity.
Ah, that's excellent. That's excellent. We're going to talk. We're going to have open topics, open lines. You can call in 347-855-8301. Press 1. Let me know you're in the queue. You want to participate. We already got someone calling in. I'm going to roll out the intro, and we're going to get the party started.
There's something wrong. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind. You have to see it for yourself. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. Like a splinter in your mind.
We're offering here is the truth. I'm going to bring in 585. They're here with us. Welcome to the round table here on Open Topics and Open Lines.
What's up, Brother Austin?
Hey, what's going on, John? Thanks for calling. I'm feeling under the weather a little bit, but we're going to persevere.
Man, that was
Tom
bad timing.
Giles, we got... Yes.
You had the deplorables right for the picking at this time.
Oh, man. Both my Facebook accounts are on lockdown. I'm in Twitter land lately.
Oh, man.
They're blocking me there, too.
Stuck on back tweet.
Tweeting away.
Yeah.
I wanted to start with this. Everybody's talking about the tariffs. I think they're bad. I think, they're going to open up 500 jobs in a Pennsylvania steel country for the Republican candidate in a tight race. But in the long run, how many thousands of jobs are those tariffs going to really cost? No one's talking about there's another company in Pennsylvania that brings in the steel and presses it from China, and they're talking about laying off. They may be laying off. So you pick
yeah,
up 500 jobs here, but how many jobs do you lose down the line?
Of course, they never do it for the people. It's about profit. If it wasn't profitable, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's,
like you said,
that's
it's one,
true,
step,
but
one step forward, two steps back.
Well, that's the question: Is Trump a capitalist or is he a nationalist?
He's a grifter.
He's showing that he's the populist nationalist. You know, the MAGA, Make America Great Again. I think these tariffs are going to slow the world's economy. And I think they're going to end up biting us in the ass, as tariffs always do, and protectionism always does. I bet every time I've been hammering Trump on his little tweet page at Twitter, I go, why don't you relax restrictions with all these government restrictions? Why don't you eliminate and relax those so the United States steel companies can compete in a world market? That's going to be better in the long run than these tariffs.
Well, I don't know if he knows what he's doing. All those Jewish friends are falling apart. Netanyahu's falling apart. Kushner's falling apart.
It's all about one, the 1% of the 1%.
I don't know if Trump knows who he is without those guys, but I could be wrong.
He didn't plan on being president. He didn't plan on being president.
No, I can't fly solo.
He's playing one.
I agree. I think he was supposed to be a prop for Hillary to get the appointment. And we've discussed this before, that Hillary, she's just so ill and sick.
Yes, she is.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to bring in 210's got their hand up, too. Hey, 210, who's this?
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the roundtable.
I think that's the name I put on it. I don't know what the fuck. It's Dean, man.
Oh, hey, how's it going, Phil Johnson?
Yeah, that's Phil Johnson, yeah. Yeah, Phil Johnson. Fuck a Phil Johnson. Yeah, I suppose that's
three faces of Dean.
Yeah, it's Dean. What's going on, Giles?
It's going. Mouth never stops.
Is this game ridiculous enough for you, or what?
Hey, Jeff, I just want going to ask you to refrain from all the F-bombs, please.
Oh.
Leave it to Beaver Days. Say golly gee and...
golly gee.
For the first hour.
Lord love a duck.
Is that because God is going to punish me, or what?
No, that's because on the first hour of the show, we actually have younger listeners, and I'm not trying to be offensive to them.
And God are the sponsors, Dean.
Oh, okay. Well, then I understand.
You can say fudgesicle.
I can say who?
Fudgesicle, that's my favorite.
Well, these guys are making me laugh. So what's your thoughts on the Trump tariffs? Trump touting the tariffs.
Trump's an idiot. Trump is a complete idiot. He has no idea. He's following his orders. That's it. Case closed.
Pretty much.
I think he plays an idiot. Not quite the same way that Bush did, but I don't think Trump is stupid, but I think Trump knows how to play to his stupid followers. And that's the role he plays.
Yeah, it's not just Democrats that do that, is it?
Well, you know, his only enemy in the liberal enemy was Rosie O'Donnell before he ran for president. You don't have to go that far to remember it. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out, you know, Kim Jong-un's best buddy was on The Apprentice. The stuff stares us in the face. There's so many things that are right in front of people and they don't see it.
Yeah. Amazing.
They don't want to see it.
Of course
they
don't. It's cognitive dissonance. You when faced with facts, if it goes against what people have believed for their whole lives, you know, they're going to attack you for it.
Well, they're in a slave set of mind, I think, that it's like that's what I want to really attribute it to, because so many things are not withheld from us. So much information is out there. Ignorance is a choice, as they say, but I think that specifically ignorance comes from the slave mentality, the helplessness of it all, and just like, what am I going to do with this information? I'm just a peon. I'm just a pawn.
Yep.
And I don't know. I have a feeling that's really what keeps people in bondage, is just knowing their place, so to speak. Just knowing their place and not thinking past that.
Well, whereas mainstream is obviously a lie, you know, saying fake news is nothing new to us. But the problem is that alternate media is a landmine in itself as well. you got to realize when a conspiracy happens and you're getting like 100 different theories in the first hour, a lot of that was pre-planned. So you have to dig through a lot of deluge in alternate media as well as mainstream. You really have to put your own thinking cap on. You have to use your own critical thinking skills. That's the only way you're really going to see things for what they are.
Yes, exactly. Amen. And you've got to start to try to, a little bit, get into the abnormal psychology of the elite who are running the show. I mean, otherwise, you're just spinning wheels.
It's think tank.
And I know that, I know for most people that sounds crazy. Like, you almost have to go a little crazy to do it, but what else?
Well, just look at the right and left as, you know, professional wrestling. That's really what it is. Two people that act like they're opponents, but they're really not. They both are going to profit at the end of the day and have us all fighting with each other on what's real and what's not real.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, that's absolute power. And the absolute power stays in the hands of the people that nobody ever talks about. And it's not George Soros.
I wanted to talk
about Soros.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a couple other things today. One thing is not like the other. First of all, Jeff Sessions today is talking about being lenient and backing off on pushing, you know, his agenda about the marijuana. But at the same time, Donald the Trumpster today met with the Philippine president Rodrigo Duterte. And he's investigating the death penalty for drug dealers.
Oh yeah, he's doing that over there, Duterte. But we know it's who brings the drugs in. We know who controls the drugs. Are they going to put the death penalty to the head of the CIA?
It would eliminate competition.
Yeah,
it would eliminate a lot of competition. That's for sure.
Yep.
Oh, that's clearly the goal in mind here.
They should start executing these motherfuckers.
And where is ISIS these days? Where's ISIS? I haven't heard about them lately.
Well, they've supposedly eliminated 95% of their territory, and they're beating ISIS.
Yeah, they were in Libya, Egypt the last time I heard.
People are ill to believe this shit.
I don't believe any goddamn thing anymore. Admitting that they had not propped up ISIS, but that they had been helping ISIS in some way. I don't remember the details.
I'm pretty sure the creator of ISIS was Eric Prince. I smelled Blackwater the first time I saw ISIS. Even before I came across that website that some of us know, I saw them. I said, that's Blackwater. I said, they just changed their name. It's obvious. They got all the SUVs there. You know, they dress practically the same. You know, and you know, the majority are wearing masks. People that are supposed to be jihadists that aren't afraid to die and are proud of what they do.
Well, according to the New York Times from a few hours ago, ISIS is coming. How a French company pushed the limits in war-torn Syria. So I guess they still need the boogeyman.
Of course, they'll always have a boogeyman.
Yeah, I don't even understand why we're in Syria. I don't understand it at all. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Boogeymen live on even when they're dead. Like Osama bin Laden.
Trump has been on Syria from the beginning, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, remember all his tweets that we needed to pull out of Afghanistan, we're training people to kill our own, and it's lives lost and trillions of dollars, let's make America great again.
Yep.
Then he has a little powwow with Mr. Kissinger, that evil son of a bitch. And then next thing you know, he's sending more troops to Afghanistan.
Yep, and he's outraged by opiates in this country. But, you know, of course, you know, the military's guarding the opium, you know, that the Taliban burned down before 9/11.
Right. Yeah, the Taliban, as bad as they are, were in power. Afghanistan supplied 2% of the world's heroin and opium. Now it's over 90%.
Because real extreme Muslims are against drugs and alcohol.
Right. With American and English troops, British troops, guarding poppy fields.
Oh, and that's just wonderful.
How did they get there from China anyway? Because China used to have the majority.
All right, I'm going to bring 704 into the round table. You're hot and live, too. Welcome to Unraveling the Matrix. The round table here, 704. Who's this?
This is Donald.
Trump.
Thanks for calling in, Donald.
You're welcome.
Hey, Trump, you son of a bitch.
Did you see me today on the news? I'm speaking in Pennsylvania.
Right on.
I was great.
No. You were great. You're speaking on the news in Pennsylvania. What were you talking about, the tariffs?
Oh, we were talking
huge.
About the 2020 election and my new campaign speech.
2020 election, that should be people from, that would be Barbara Walters, right?
No, my new campaign slogan is Keep America Great.
That's new?
Keep America Great.
You sound like
great.
A guy I know named Oscar. Sound familiar.
No, this is your president speaking.
Yep.
I have
we got the Donald Trumpster himself.
So do you have all Hillary's memos in your pocket?
I'm a big fan of Austin. He reminds me of O'Keefe from Homeland.
Okay. That works for people to watch
Homeland. Have you ever watched Homeland before?
Oh. I think I started to watch it one time, and that was it.
That's on Showtime. Sorry.
You're missing a great show about the truth.
I just discovered there's more Heartland, anyone?
Well, I'm just,
isn't
I'm
that
just
guy that was on Yentl on that show? What was his name again? Oh, I can't think of his name. The guy that was in Yentl. I can't think of his name.
I'm a big fan of Tom Giles. He's my favorite author.
Yeah, you sound familiar.
Maybe.
You want a cabinet post, Tom?
A cabinet post?
Yes.
I'm
looking for some people right now. I'm losing too many.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're dropping like pesticide sprayed flies.
Well, we do have something in common, Mr. Trump. We're both from Queens.
Yeah, that's
unfortunately,
true.
I know about your history for 30 years before anybody else did.
Listen, I'm sorry I married Ivanka. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't help myself back then.
Yes, right.
But we sure built up Manhattan, that's for sure, didn't we?
Yeah, first we take Manhattan, then we'll take Berlin.
Well, I may have a position for you, Tom. Secretary of State. I hear Tillerson is very ill right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why.
Secretary of State. How about if I'm Secretary of Bullshit Fixer?
I, for one, can't believe they nominated Henry Kissinger to that post.
He's still alive.
He was runner-up to Favorite of the Year.
They nominated Kissinger for what? Secretary of State again?
That would be interesting.
I didn't hear about that one.
And then we can make Dr. Strangelove the Secretary of Defense. We could bring Cheney back. Let's stick Cheney in there, too.
Just bring everybody to the
chair.
I wonder if
How about Stephen Hawkins, too? Hawkins.
Hey, Donald, why don't you put the Rothschilds in your cabinet and pretend you're the boss of them?
That's our little secret, okay? Let's just keep that between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Tom, if you're interested, I'm going to be down on Pennsylvania Avenue sometime Monday.
Okay, say hello to the people at ISIS headquarters.
And, Austin, I'm looking for a press secretary. I want to get rid of that ugly woman, you know, the one that keeps telling me I'm in arbitration with Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Davis, you think in baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Stormy Daniels. I mean, why do these politicians, why does he just freaking come clean and just admit that he boffed this porno star?
They're bringing back deep throat.
I mean, it's not going to matter to his core base. These populists, they would follow Trump. They would follow Trump jumping off a cliff.
Virginia Roberts.
Locked out.
Virginia Roberts, Epstein Island. Come on, Donald, mess up, Donald. Virginia Roberts. You know, you and Billy were tag teaming there.
Then they'll find out Melania was also a porn star.
Yeah.
Either he's charismatic or he just knows how to find money and people follow money. Which is it?
Sure. He's just going to pay off everybody. You know, somebody makes $5 billion a year, they can pay off the little people.
Listen, I did not pay off anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you know you're talking to Donald now, right?
Yeah, and you didn't inhale
did
and you did not have sex with that woman. Sounds like your brother,
I did not
your buddy
have
Bill.
Sex. I did not have sex with that woman, Stormy Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels, I mean.
I thought her name was Stormy Daniels, Donald.
And so many women, you
right.
Forgot the last name, huh?
Right. So what about that $130,000? Did you just pay that? What would you pay that to her for?
Well, no, that was not me. That was someone else.
Of course.
That was my surrogate.
Gotcha.
Denial is more than a river in Egypt.
Yeah, that's just pocket change for me anyway. $130,000. Why would I give somebody $130,000 if I wanted to keep quiet? I'd give them like $1 million, right?
Of course. But you might have just given them $130,000 on the promise that you're going to give another $870,000. We don't know that.
Tom, again, our little secret.
Okay. And I got a couple of hotels on Park Place, too.
Yeah. Did you see the new Trump Monopoly game? We're everywhere now.
I'm sure it's huge.
Monopoly.
I'm sure it's tremendous. I'm sure we're going to love it, and we've never seen anything like it.
Hey, Atlantic City, man. That was my deal at one time.
Yes, it was.
I'm sure you knew nothing about App Scam. Why don't you guys go back to talking about conspiracies? I like listening in.
Okay.
I'm big on conspiracies. I think Washington is one big conspiracy.
All right, Donald.
I got one that I woke up with this morning, if you want to humor me. I was thinking about the hippies. I was thinking about the hippies, right? And how, and I don't know, I wasn't alive when they were like, when I wasn't alive in the 60s. But, you know, all I know is from like the TV. And they're all like, oh, peace and love. And, oh, no, don't do that. That's, capitalism's bad, fascism's bad. But they never say communism's bad. So in the back of my mind, and I finally came out in a dream last night, I'm thinking, well, what if they're like KGB or something? Wouldn't that make sense?
Were you watching The Monkeys or the Partridge Family?
I have no idea. How did it up on TV?
Well, it must have been you're willing to share your dream with everybody else. So instead of everybody else having to share somebody else's dream, so you can't be a communist yourself.
It was more like a waking up, like, thing that stuck in my mind.
You know what's funny? Most people think that, you know, Karl Marx founded communism. I did research, and it goes before Karl Marx. There was a guy from France. I can't think of his name now, but he put a book out in 1777. 1 year after the creation of the Illuminati and the Declaration of Independence. It was like Dupuy or something like that. It was a guy from France.
Yeah, it was just in the air because it was the only real alternative to the status quo, I guess.
Yeah.
At that time.
But a lot of people really do think it popped out of Karl Marx's head. It goes further back.
Well, he's
the
Jewish.
I only go back to ground, so.
Marx is the Jewish figurehead of communism.
Yeah,
exactly. Just like how Einstein gets all the credit for a lot of things he didn't do.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, formula is an obvious ripoff, but it's like Jewish privilege all the way right there.
Yeah, crazy.
And we don't even have to talk about Freud. He's the third one.
Yep. And you know, I was thinking about this. You know. All three major religions went through major changes in the 19th century. There was it was towards the end of the 19th century too. Christian dispensationalism and the Scofield Bible, the creation of Zionism, and Islamic revivalism, and they all almost started around the same time. So it almost feels like it was a political idea leading up to, you know, World War I and the Balfour Declaration, because it kind of shapes it.
It kind of got, swept away with the whole nationalist revival.
Yep.
That was just everywhere.
And,
Ireland, Egypt.
And World War I and the Bolshevik Revolution were almost at the same time, right?
Well, it's interesting. The Bolshevik Revolution was 5 days after the Balfour Declaration.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to me, sends up all kinds of red flags.
Of course, there's parallels.
Yeah. Because later you have the USSR being the first nation state to recognize Israel de jure.
Yes, they were, and
like,
they recognized Jerusalem too. One of the first ones.
It
so much for Russia
sense.
Being anti-Israel.
It just doesn't make sense ideologically, but it does make sense racially. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
No, they're just a big, you know, it's all one big club and we're not in it.
Yeah.
You know, we have to create enemies on the chessboard and they all get a piece of the pie and some get bigger than others, you know, according to who's up higher in the pecking order.
Yeah.
Excuse me, gentlemen, I have to leave. Robert Mueller is waiting, so it was nice listening to you guys.
It's been great. Tell Mueller
okay.
I love the way he summed up 9/11.
Very interesting, that other gentleman talking, and Godspeed to all of you. I'll be right there. I'll be right there, Robert. Have a good evening.
Okay.
Peace.
Hold on to your wig.
Peace and love.
What a world we live in. More and more, it's all the world's a stage. I mean, you don't even know what's real and what has actual deaths anymore. It's all questionable.
Yeah, well, I think that's mental health. I mean, to me, maybe I'm a bit of a Hindu, but I just think everything should be questioned. It's
no doubt
health.
About it. But I was trying to explain to people, you know, all of these, you know, the way these school shootings have all increased and all these things that are concentrated on by the mainstream media. There were school shootings, you know, before 2012. But when they passed the bill called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, it kind of transferred to disseminate propaganda overseas to deceive people. Now it can be used domestically. And if I can just read this one piece, that rule of construction in the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, it's just one paragraph. It says, nothing in this section shall be construed to prohibit the Department of State or the Broadcasting Board of Governors from engaging in any media or form of communication, either directly or indirectly, because the United States domestic audience is or may be thereby exposed to program material, or based on a presumption of such exposure, such material may be made available within the United States and disseminated when appropriate pursuant to sections 502 and 1005 of the United States Information Educational Exchange Act of 1948, except that nothing in this section may be construed to authorize the Department of State or the Broadcasting Board of the Governors to disseminate within the United States any program material prepared for dissemination abroad on or before the effective date of the Smith Modernization Act of 2012. Well, they drew the bill up in May 12th, right? May 2012, and then they said this act shall take effect and apply on the date that is 180 days after the date of the enactment of this act, which falls on November 2012, 1 month before Sandy Hook. So literally they can simulate something, and it's legal. They're not liable. The Broadcasting Board of Governors, you know, they're the people that control what is put on media. And if you go to the Broadcasting Board of Governors and look up on their site, most of them are people that were in the Clinton and Obama administrations. And we don't hear Trump going after them, do we? So, you know, it's they can literally get away with hoaxes. Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, what? I wanted to. What's going on with the Rocket Man? I guess he's going to come to the table. He's talked that the Trumpster is going to have a little powwow with the Rocket Man.
Yeah, he has a change of heart now. You know,
right?
As if he was ever really going to use something. He was a threat to fish.
Right.
Shooting blanks while Hawaii puts out this big alert, and then a couple of days later they have a big alert in Japan as well.
Right.
You know, got to get both sides of the Atlantic. The Pacific and
right,
the Atlantic. You got to get both sides.
Then a few months after that, they're going to sit down and they're going to have a little powwow, and everything's going to be honky-dory.
It's hilarious. Again,
I
Dennis
think it's
Rodman,
hilarious
no coincidence.
Too.
No coincidence with Mr. Rodman. he became his friend, you know, shortly before Trump became president. I guess they knew Hillary wasn't going to be able to do it.
Well, maybe we make Dennis Rodman the ambassador for North Korea.
Why not? He practically is. He's the second most famous figure there.
He definitely is.
Well, you got the guy that did Gangnam Style. Maybe third.
No, that guy's from South Korea, bro.
Oh, is he? Ah,
yeah.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Gangnam Style, he's South Korea.
Man, that gets rid of my Nukem Gangnam Style joke. I did not know that.
You can still use it.
That's the old Johnny Carson. I did not know that.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Man.
Yeah.
What, did we scare everybody off?
I don't know. Did everybody else leave? I don't know. I don't know. John's lurking in the shadows. Your Donald 704, he called back in. He's lurking in the shadows listening.
Yeah, I was just, you know, this whole thing with that Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, if people just read that, you know, 1948, it was about you could, you know, disseminate propaganda abroad, you know, deceive the so-called enemy overseas and tell them anything. But 2012, it became local. And it just makes sense.
Oh,
why.
Yeah.
it just makes sense why there's so many of these things now. And I think in some sick way, these people think they're being humanitarians by staging things and not actually killing people. I really believe. I mean, they want us to believe this girl got shot with an AR-15 from point-blank range in the chest, and she get up 6 days later to do an interview, and then tweet. And this week she went back to school. You know, really? It's not a regular gun.
Like
it's an AR-15. I've seen them. I watched
the
video the other day where they shot
the
both ends of a car and went through a target, in addition to the car.
Well, yeah, just like that one dude that got shot in the head, in Las Vegas. He was talking about it the day later. Oh, Donald Trump has his hand back up. We're gonna bring Donald Trump back in.
Okay.
Hey, I'm back from my interrogation by Robert Mueller.
Wow, that was quick.
I heard you were talking
about
the
cavity search.
No, but I heard you were talking about my upcoming trip, Austin, to see Kim Jong-un. We will be meeting.
Yeah.
I will give you the inside info. We will be meeting on Memorial Day.
Okay.
And place to be determined, but we have a lot to discuss, including our hairstyles. And,
you really sound more like George H.W. Bush, but, you know, go ahead. Are you sure this isn't G.H.W.?
This is Donald. You know me. We're both from Queens, right?
Yeah, but
I hear you set a date for the parade, too. It's going to be on Veterans Day. Are we going to be rolling out all the nukes and the tanks?
It's going to be tremendous.
Are you going to get some pointers from Kim Jong-un on how to do a great parade and show off and marching?
Of course.
Yeah.
We're going to
You got to have a Patton in there or MacArthur.
Well, I will be leading the parade. You know that.
Okay.
I will have my AR-15.
Make sure it's not windy that day.
I was prepared. I have a hairnet from Melania just in case.
You're good. You're covered.
But it will be tremendous. It will be the greatest thing in history that America has ever seen. We will stand for our soldiers, and we will march on Washington. It's about time we march on Washington. Everybody else has been marching on Washington.
I thought this was the big shindig parade on Veterans Day. I mean, you know, are you gonna roll out some nukes? Can we get some mobile nukes and some tanks?
Can we do this first class? Yeah, well, we're not gonna have tanks. I understand tanks are not good for the for the cement. But other than that, we'll have some B-1 bombers, and all the generals will be there if they're still working for me. And let's see, you're invited, Austin, if you'd like to come. And
Donald,
Tom.
It's better to deceive
be
the enemy. Make us think you don't have anything. Bring out the broken cannon from F Troop. That's what you need. It's better to deceive your enemy, don't you think? Make them overconfident.
What does the F stand for in F Troop? What? Sorry?
Make them overconfident. Make them think we don't have anything. Don't you think that's a bad way to go about it?
Hey, Donald.
That's
what
you need me for, Secretary of State, I guess.
Hey, Donald, can you unveil a little something from Area 51?
We'll have to see about that. That's going to be yet to be determined. It's a little sensitive in nature. I don't think you'd want to see it. It's kind of disgusting.
We're Americans. We love disgusting.
I'm going to bring
Hillary. We may have Hillary.
I'm going to bring in someone. Are you guys ready? It's a bunch of ones. You know how these numbers can go. We're going to give them a whirl, though.
Yeah.
Hey, unknown soldier, bunch of ones here. You're in the round table. Who's this?
Watch out, it's me, Dangerous Joe from Montana. Look out for the ones. You never know.
All right, Joe. Welcome to the round table.
The shadow knows.
This guy was talking to me the other day at the White House, I think. Is he the guy that shot himself at the White House?
No, that's Steve Bannon.
Somebody
he shot
himself.
Well, he shot himself in the political foot, that's for sure.
Yep.
Okay, and I got a little bit, very, very small bit of good news. There's a friend of mine who's an avid no-Trumper. Never Trumper, not a wanna-Trumper, never. He's changing his mind. He has
really?
Seen what... Yeah, oh yeah.
He changes his mind? Donald, you change your mind?
He's talking about a friend that changed his name about me. He's changing his mind about me, Tom.
This guy's changed his mind.
He likes me. Who doesn't? Everybody likes me, Tom.
Well, in any case, this guy, he has his own show too on Blog Talk Radio, and he was raving about Trump the other day, which is good, which got me to thinking.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're anytime, pal. So, this got me to thinking that if enough people do change their minds, what's going to happen is that it sounds like really good news, and if Trump keeps up the good work, but what's going to happen are unintended consequences, because if people are changing their minds, they're no longer going to vote after a while for either Republican or Democrat and start going for the independent party, and then people who have been recommending the independent party, all of a sudden you're going to see them die because now they're influential. For example, Alex Jones, 300 million people have seen his videos, his documentaries, but he's not influential. People are still voting Democrat and Republican. That's why he's alive. But if people start voting independent, people like Jones, going to die, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, he's COINTELPRO. He's shown his colors in the last few years. He's not the same guy he was, you know. He took us into the rabbit hole, and then he kind of did an exit left and threw us to the wolves.
When did he do that?
When he started backing Mr. Trump.
So
and started saying that the globalists want to destroy Israel.
And you don't believe that?
Of course not.
Why, of course not?
Because Israel is a stolen country.
And the globalists, they don't want to destroy Israel.
Of course not. Where's ISIS and where's Al-Qaeda? Have they been in Israel?
Hardly anybody's been in Israel because they don't allow terrorists in Israel the way that we do here.
But if people are going to kill themselves, there's not going to be any attempts.
That kind of example doesn't hold water for me.
Of course it does.
Slight correction, Israel is run by terrorists.
Of course it is.
Okay, but in any case, let's
we're
say it is.
We're anti-Semites now.
People here know the globalists. They've had, first-hand contact with the globalists. They know their agenda. Anybody? Anybody here?
Well, the Rothschilds want to destroy Israel?
You know the Rothschilds?
Do you?
I believe...
No, I don't.
I believe the Rothschilds family...
They own the Knesset.
On the Zionist question. I don't think they're all in one... I don't think they're all in agreement. Zionism is just a means to an end for them anyway, so they don't need to agree.
Yeah, everything to me points back to the Rothschilds, but not because I know them or there's any documentation that they've laid that they've left around, but because I've connected the dots. They've been around for centuries. They're part of historical documents here in the United States and probably elsewhere. So it's a good bet that the country, that the family which started the central banking, in which there are plenty of central banks around, are probably in charge of the world.
Of course they are.
Okay. But that's it. That's because of connecting the dots. Why would they, the Rothschilds, want to spare Israel from their globalist domain?
What would they benefit from destroying Israel? What do they gain from destroying Israel?
The same they gain from destroying the entire world so that they can become merged with AI.
They created Israel to destroy it? Is that what you're saying?
Firstly, how do you know they created Israel?
Hello, Balfour Declaration.
What about it?
And the Transfer.
Rothschilds.
Who says so?
Who said so? The Balfour Declaration itself.
Says what? Specific.
Did you ever read it?
No.
Well, then maybe you should read it.
Well, I've got you, the expert, telling me about it.
Well, I don't memorize it word for word, but it's addressed from Lord Balfour to Lord Rothschild, appealing to create a Jewish state in it for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of broke the agreement, you know, for the mandate for Palestine. Splintered it.
All right, but how does that go against their particular plan to conquer the entire world?
Well, they do conquer the world because they have people in Israel afraid of a non-existent threat. So they even have them paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes sense, but that doesn't...
It's just a chess piece.
Yeah,
that's really what I'm trying
right.
to say, but what
all
do
right.
they gain from destroying Israel? That's what
oh,
I'm
all right.
saying.
So in other words, you're not saying that Israel is a direct ally of the Rothschilds. You're just saying it's a part, it's a pawn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
See, I think this was part of the plan of World War II.
Okay. Well, in that case, everything's a pawn for the Rothschilds. Everything's been like that ever since the Napoleonic Wars or even before then.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, all right.
Maybe we're not in disagreement. Maybe we just had a
disagreement. No, I didn't know exactly where you were going with that. Okay.
I mean, Alex Jones used to say stuff about Israel, and he did a 360, and he completely turned on it. I'm not talking about the people that live there.
All right. Well, I don't know about Alex Jones' turning on Israel. I don't know about him making a sharp turn left, going down the rabbit hole, and then exiting from it. For me,
he's gone more into the him and his partner, Watson, have gone more into, you know, the Muslims are trying to destroy everything, and they're going to come here and enforce Sharia law.
Well, the Muslims are probably part of the arm of the aim and the agenda of the Rothschilds also.
Well, it's a portion of it, because I think that is why, which I was saying earlier, was, you know, the creation of Christian dispensationalism, mm-hmm. Zionism, and Islamic revivalism all occurred basically around the same time in the 19th century. It kind of laid the groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
For what we see today.
Okay.
I would say a couple things.
Jews, Muslims, and Christians for a while were living together in the Middle East. It was just Sunni
versus
Shia.
Yeah.
I would say a couple things that connect the Rothschilds to Israel. One of them is simply the idea that blood is thicker than water. Another one is the fact that Rothschild means red shield.
Yep.
And the Star of David in Hebrew isn't actually the star, but it's the shield of David, Magen David. So I thought that was it. So symbolically, they're linked as well.
Well, the whole chosen people thing creates a false premise that is ingrained in the minds of, you know, a good chunk of the Christian community.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And
so it made sense to do that. Again, I'm not attacking the people that live in Israel, because if I'm going to say Israel is just going to go away, it's like thinking America is going to go away because of what happened to the natives that were able, you know, beforehand.
Mm.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to say that everything and anything that's happening in the world is just a matter of being pieces on a checkerboard or a chessboard,
yeah.
I'm going to agree with that.
Yeah, and Palestine is really on its own. It has a little backing from Jordan and a few places where they take refugees, but, you know, there is nobody really fighting their defense. I don't see Russia giving them weapons, you know?
What we can say is that the Israeli government doesn't represent the Israeli people. That's clear, and that there
yeah.
is not.
Well, they don't like Netanyahu.
Not
from what I see.
Like a free press in Israel.
Yep.
Yeah. Possibly. There's millions of people in the United States don't like Trump. I didn't vote for him, but now that I've seen what he's done, now that he's in, I like him.
Thank you.
Now, if anybody has an argument against Trump, I mean a real argument. I mean, if you're going to say potentially, or he could be a Manchurian candidate, or if he's the best thing that could happen by being a smoke and mirror guy for the globalists.
No, he was an insurance policy for Hillary Clinton, is what he was, and she's too ill to, you know, perform the duties. It's really what it is.
Now, why would you say that?
You cannot give me any proof that Donald Trump and the Clintons have ever been enemies.
Well,
everything he says about her is true, but coming from him, it's a load of BS. They were always friends.
No, they were friends definitely when he was in New York and he was building his empire in New York.
And the Clintons were just as big criminals then as they are now.
They are, absolutely.
So why is he trying to? Why is he acting like this is something new?
Well, because
he was praising them in 2013, 2014. Are we going to say it's the emails in Benghazi is what made him change his mind?
I would think running for the presidency of the United States, picking a side, may have changed his mind.
I think his job was to destroy the Republican Party, which he did. And, you know, Hillary just took too many nosedives. I mean, she fell flat on her face at the 9/11 ceremony with millions of people watching. They pulled the damn plug.
Well,
no way
what
she
you're
could
saying,
do it.
Well, what you're saying is conjecture, which could be true, because when you're moving around,
I don't think it's conjecture. How many times have we seen Hillary Clinton show
no,
up?
No, I'm not
public?
Talking about Hillary. I'm talking about Trump. Trump could be or could not be an agent of, again, of the Rothschilds. Who knows? The thing is, what he's done so far.
His daughter dated Nat Rothschild at the age of 19.
Well, you know, look, Trump is a billionaire. His daughter is an heiress to billions. He may be. I'm not saying he's not. All I'm saying is that from my point of view, for me to believe in something as strongly as a lot of people do, I'd have to see proof.
I think he's a fringe guy that got caught in a scam. That's what I think.
It's possible.
I'm not saying he was a big part of the insiders.
I didn't think he was running to become president of the United States. I think millions of people
yeah.
thought he was just doing that in order to sell his book afterwards. And then all of a sudden, bang, there he is. He's the president.
He is a leverage guy. He's always been a leverage guy. He could be in a room of liberals and make the liberals happy, be in a room of conservatives, make the conservatives happy. He knows how to work the room.
But what he's done, his economic policies, his tariffs, his immigration policies, I happen to approve of. So you're saying that the tax reform was bad?
Well, let's put it this way. You're paying less in taxes now. What's going to happen at tax time next year?
What do you mean? If we're paying less taxes now, then we are going to pay
You'll
fewer
be paying
taxes.
More when it comes tax time.
I don't explain that to me.
The less you pay in taxes, the more you're going to be penalized to pay in income tax.
If you're making $100,000 a year, and as a result of tax reform, instead of paying, let's say, $40,000, you're now paying $30,000 this year. How are you going to end up paying more next year?
Because you're not paying as much taxes.
Well, if you're not paying as much.
There's a rebound effect.
If the tax reform has gone into effect, so that the $100,000 guy who, for illustrative purposes, is not going to pay $40,000, but is going to pay $30,000. Why would he pay more the next year when the regulations, the new rule, is still in effect?
Because you're paying less taxes. That's the rebound.
If you're paying fewer taxes,
paying
that's
up.
The aim. If you're paying $10,000 less in taxes, that means you're keeping $10,000 this year and next year. So I don't understand that.
Until tax time.
Okay, I'm still not getting it. I'm making $100,000, okay?
Yeah.
Trump comes in. Now, prior to Trump, I'm paying $40,000 in taxes.
Okay, now you're paying $30,000.
Now I'm paying $30,000, so I keep $10,000, right?
For now.
Okay. Next year, I'm still making $100,000. The tax reform rules and regulations are still in place, the deductions, credits, et cetera. Am I going to pay more in taxes or fewer taxes?
I don't know about you, but the less I pay in taxes, the more I've had to pay. So I'm not sure.
Wait a minute. You're making $100,000. This is 2018. You're going to pay $30,000 as opposed to $40,000. Now 2019 comes along.
Mm-hmm.
You're making $100,000. How much are you paying in taxes?
It depends on the percentage. I don't know what the percentage.
If you paid $10,000 less this year, the same rules and regulations are applied this year and next year and the following years until a new president comes in. How much, and if you pay $10,000 less now, how much are you going to pay next year?
So you're thinking it's going to be $10,000 less than you would have paid? What percentage?
You're making $100,000, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You ordinarily would have paid, for illustrative purposes, you would have paid less because you would have taken hired a nice accountant. But let's say for $40,000 you're paying. That's in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
2019 comes along, you're still making $100,000.
Yeah.
Why would you pay more in taxes next year?
Because they're taking it out.
If they're taking it out, but I'm saying, right, if they've kept the same rule, regulation, tax law in place, Congress hasn't repealed anything, Trump is still the president, you're still paying $10,000 less.
I guess I can't see it until I get next year. I don't know. It feels like who's on first somehow.
No, it isn't. It's the same. Okay. Somebody else explain it to me.
Well, I'll say this much.
Yeah.
I'll say this much. I have put more money in my 401k because I know he's a big business guy.
Yeah,
that I did.
Yeah, I... Yeah, who is that?
Who's got the music in the background? Okay.
Sounds like elevator music is in the background.
That was
Donald.
Like
he dropped.
Sound like something.
Yeah, the Trumpster was tooting his own horn.
Oh, boy.
All right, so we got that cleared up. All right.
Okay, let's next subject.
Yeah.
Next. Part of it.
All right. Well, hold on a second, guys. I'm going to take a little break here so I can get the ads up. Thank our sponsors, and then I'll let you guys carry on.
Okay.
Just stick around. I'm just going to play a couple of ads. We want to thank our friends at Damco Transportation, our number one and only made sponsor. We'll be back here in a few minutes, guys. Stick around.
Okay.
All right, so in any case, I guess we can still talk, right?
Well,
okay.
We are.
All right. So, in any case, I think that's a small victory to have a friend of mine who is...
Pittsburgh are rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is the Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dabco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dabco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dabco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dabco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dabcotrans.com. That's dabcotrans.com.
But I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Yes, you have a right to do things that are very controversial. If not, you're going to end up with government that's going to tell us what we can eat and drink and whatever.
Well, hello. This is Liberty Lisa, and you are listening to The Truth Train.
We're on a mission from God.
I think that if we actually follow the Constitution, you know, it would be a completely different world that we were living in.
Oh, yeah!
You know, I myself am fighting against, the unconstitutional state laws here on foreclosure here in Colorado. How in the world could the Attorney General, the purported defender of the people, support an unconstitutional law?
I pity myself that I gotta be with these fools.
If you're going to amend the Constitution and show a track record of at least upholding what's there in the first place, let's not go and talk about changing something that you really don't know about and haven't implemented yourself.
You went full retard, man. Never go full retard. Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emerges Radio.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN standards. This is an historic moment. When we are successful, we will be. A new world order.
The one and only original Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
A new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
All right, everybody, we're back here. I'm going to bring back in Thomas Giles, and we got Joe with his hand up. And I see you there too, John. If you want to put your hand up, let me know if you want to join in the discussion. All right, guys.
Can I say something to Joe?
Huh?
Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe. You know, we got cut up before.
No.
But I just don't want you to think I'm an idiot. I just want to explain what happened. Every time I got bad tax preparers or they're crooks or whatever, but every time I go to them, why am I paying so much?
Yeah.
That they always tell me because you didn't have enough taken out in taxes.
Oh, what they're saying is you didn't have enough taken out during the year.
Yeah.
That's what they meant.
Yeah.
But at the end of the, when March 15th comes around, or April 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the,
yeah, that's,
when
that's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
So I was seeing if I'm paying less in, more, even less in taxes next year, I would think they're going to make me pay even more.
No. If you're going to pay fewer taxes, they're going to take out less. They should. Now,
okay.
If they're not, then you better go back to your accountant and have them explain it to you in plain, simple language.
Yeah, because
no,
I'm good
account-
at math. Believe
yeah,
me.
No,
so I'm just trying to figure out,
oh, okay.
You know, why they were telling me that.
No accounting jingo, no bullshit. Plain,
yeah.
Simple language, because it's all arithmetic. It's all, you minus this, and you add that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're confusing you, then you say thank you very much, and you take your fucking business someplace else.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. You get what you pay for, as they say.
Yeah. Oh, Austin, when are you going to have Larkin and Rose on your show?
That name sounds familiar.
Well, he's the happy
guy. What was that?
There. When are you going to have Larkin and Rose on your show?
Oh, I haven't had Larkin on. It's been a few years. I'd like to get Larkin Rose back on. He's a pretty cool cat.
I like him
a lot. Friend of mine. But he's really not doing much on the radio anymore.
He's not?
Except a few gigs with Mark Passio. And he's mainly been doing his Candles in the Dark gig, and he was just one of the head speakers at Anarchapulco.
Oh, all right. Because, I mean, you know, if there's anybody that I like as an anarchist, it's him. I mean, he explains so simply, so commonsensical, what his particular view of anarchy is all about. And I think, you know, my being a libertarian, he wouldn't approve of it because he would consider me a miniaturist, right?
Yeah.
A miniaturist, yeah, or a minimalist or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
we can't, Menegist? Yeah. He would have a point, because once you have the cancer of government in there, unless you really have checks and balances, which we don't have, and I don't understand, well, I do understand why people fall for it, because we've been brainwashed since we've been kids. But when you have the judiciary approved by the Senate, and by Congress, that's not checks and balances. That's just pushing forth the agenda of the same party. You know, it's like if you had the Sopranos and the Bonanno family as the Republicans and Democrats.
That's a good analogy. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and if
and,
they're
and what
voting,
are Congress? They're mostly, most of them are future lobbyists that pay
yeah,
more money.
Absolutely. So if you have the Sopranos and the Bonanno family voting who's going to join the consigliere, that's not exactly checks and balances. I'm sorry.
Whatever's going to be best for them.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
You know.
Right. But wait a second. They're your representatives.
Get the,
whether you like it or not. Whether you voted for them or not, they're your representatives.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I don't, and
politics
I
gets in the way of what, you know, what really goes on.
Yeah.
Politics gets just gets in the way.
Yeah, the lobbyists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good God. Yeah.
It's a soap opera for us
yeah.
to watch. We don't
yeah.
get to see the real operations.
No. And behind the scenes were a mental midget, an insane bitch, Pelosi. She's literally insane because she thinks she actually talks to Susan B. Anthony. She doesn't channel her. She thinks she talks to her, the ghost. And then she's been on video doing this. She's insane. And she's worth $100 million. Tell me how that freaking piece of crap, who's been in
Bella
Congress.
Bella Pelosi.
Yeah, my, yeah. How does she get to be worth $100 million? Duh. How about lobbyists paying
well,
under the table?
Well, wait a second.
Yeah.
Wait a second. You got Mad Maxine Waters. Pelosi. Pelosi's a genius compared to her.
Yeah, well, 90 years of age, and she still thinks she's freaking 40 years old. And, nah, take that wig off. Touch. Jesus Christ.
Are they really like this, or is this an act? That's
no,
that's
they're really
the question
not.
I ask. Do they talk like this when they're off the cameras?
Oh no no, that's WWE behind the
yeah,
scenes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why I try not to get swayed by that.
Yeah. Oh, for God's sake! And we
it's
the
coffee
American
talk, you know.
Yeah. God, Jesus, somebody. Yeah, you know, I'm glad. You know, a few more.
You
years.
You got old fossils like Mitch McConnell on the other end, and you know Lindsey Graham, and it's just a circus.
I know, but we just voted independent. I gave a solution, which is not really a solution. It's actually an outcome. But, you know, people would think of it as a solution. It's not. If people just took a look at their candidates, local level, state level, federal level, and said, I'm not voting Democrat or Republican. I am choosing any independent. I don't care if he doesn't even have a job. It couldn't be any worse if we had 465 independent politicians in Congress, as opposed to the Democrats, Republicans, or if you really want to call them the Bloods and the Crips
yeah.
in Congress.
Well, write yourself in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Write yourself. Well.
So what if everybody did that?
Yeah, that would be good. I think in some states though you can't. You have to actually be on the ballot, and that's the bad thing.
That's true.
You know, you got to have people voting for you before you get voted in.
That's why I believe you have the selected in the insurance policy. Austin, I got to go to my other phone. This phone's dying out. 2430729. I'll call right back in.
All right, go to your other phone, and we'll talk about the Bloods and the Crips. I mean the Republicans and the Democrats.
You got that shit right. Good God.
Oh my gosh.
And we
what
keep voting
nightmare.
Him in. I don't vote him in, but I'm not part of the millions that do. That's the whole thing I was talking about, Austin, when I first came on. If we could somehow influence people, and that would be our death knell. If we could actually get people who listen to us to vote, even in the tens of thousands, away from the Democrats, away from the Republicans, and vote independent, I guarantee you, we'd be dead in a year.
I disagree because the game's all rigged anyways. I mean, everyone believes that the Trumpster was this wild card and all this. I'm not buying it. It's more of the same to me.
You really think Trump is like what, the Manchurian candidate, or somebody who's actually looking out for the interests of the globalists?
Yes, I believe he's a globalist, populist all the way.
Okay.
Same here, Thomas. Yes, definitely. I think you get between the selected and the insurance policy, and this time they needed the insurance policy.
And you may be right
about what he's saying about the tech. Maybe he's doing a few things that they'll give him a little bit of power, but, you know, ISIS is not an Islamic fundamentalist sect.
ISIS was created by the United States in conjunction with M16 and France.
Blackwater.
Oh, I forgot.
They're Blackwater under another name.
Yeah,
both of them.
Are they? I mean, are they a lot of Blackwater post recruits who left Blackwater to go with ISIS?
Well, there's Academi. There's Reflex Response. There's a lot of different mercenary groups that have splintered out of Blackwater.
Mm-hmm.
They're not Muslims. Not the ones in the mask.
Well, the whole thing is that ISIS, which to me I couldn't understand how they flourished for the past 4 to 6 years, since they have no navy, no air force, and yet the announcement wasn't it announced about 2 months ago that ISIS, for all practical purposes, is dead.
Yeah.
I mean, now I wondered about that. I didn't know if that was a true announcement, but since CNN and MSNBC. And the rest didn't really jump on the bandwagon condemning it. I'm figuring, okay, I'll wait, see what really happens. Now, if that's true,
I really believe, Joe, I really believe one night they just literally deployed out of the U.S. Embassy in Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the size of Vatican City.
I don't know. I can't deny that. Because when you take a look at where they're getting their equipment from,
it was there all the time.
Yeah, we gave it to them. We brought
them. They didn't leave billions of dollars of equipment back to be taken.
That was the biggest scam.
If anything, the ones that show their faces, I mean, these are the ones that are probably released from Guantanamo and all of these other CIA-backed prison sites around the world.
Yeah, sure. That I agree with.
And nobody's going to tell us this. I don't even think Ron Paul would tell us that, because I guess they want to live.
Yeah,
you know, but a guy like Eric Prince, when you're telling me that Eric Prince, you know, provides a back channel between Trump and Putin,
he denies that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Eric Prince also has a company in China as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy seems to be everywhere.
Well, he's a mercenary, so he's going to get he's going to get his money from wherever.
Plus, no bid contracts is the name of the game.
That's a traitorous effort if ever there was one. You can't, and plus there are companies that are forbidden to do business with Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, except
no bid contracts.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that? This was exposed, and this is the nature of a gatekeeper. This was exposed by Glenn Greenwald, and you know he became the representative of Edward Snowden, right? Then you look at Greenberg's boss, he's Pierre Omidyar, who owns PayPal and all of these things, but he was a major funder to the rebels in the Ukraine who were supposed to be fighting Putin.
Yeah, the money is spread all over the place, wherever anybody thinks there's a profit. Nobody's loyal.
It's five enemies.
Yeah. Of course, nobody's really loyal to their country.
No. That's the problem. Everybody that's an enemy...
Yeah.
I mean, you got to really think of it. Like, even Assad, I say to myself, this family has been in power for 50 years.
Which family?
And we're only hearing about them being the bad guy, like, the last 5 or 6 years, right?
Which family?
We're only hearing about Syria being the bad guy, 6 or 7 years, even though Wesley Clark talked about it in 2001. Mm-hmm. But he ends up becoming, you know, an analyst for CNN, and now I just saw him on MSNBC.
Well,
so,
there
you go. Know,
yeah.
Yeah. Gatekeepers. They
oh,
give
yeah.
you a little bit of truth. They reel you in.
Yeah.
And then, then you're supposed to believe everything they say.
Well,
and that's the problem. Sometimes you can believe 90% of the message, and 10% will completely throw you off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping that Trump isn't the Manchurian candidate that he could be, because if he is, he's really laying the groundwork for the explosion of America really well.
Well, I don't believe the anti-assault rifle bill will pass.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he brings up, bring the people in and then use due process. Take the guns and then use due process.
That. Even though he's only talking about something very, very specifically, he's talking about if you get a tip, take the guns. Even though the slippery slope on that is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
Extremely dangerous. They are taking guns away, too. People keep saying, like Pelosi, they're not coming for your guns. In one particular case, I think it's in Utah, where a guy, I read about it the other day. Wait a minute. Let me see if I get my memory cleared up. He was, they came and, oh, that's right. His neighbor saw him staring at him or her. I forget if the victim was a woman. Most likely it's a woman. Nowadays it's, But in any case, I think it was a woman who complained to the authorities because her neighbor was staring at her, and he had a gun inside the house, if I'm remembering.
But he didn't have it in his hand.
What happened?
He
didn't have it in his hand, right.
Yeah.
And she calls the cops. The cops come and confiscate the gun simply because she is scared. Now, that's going after your fucking guns.
Did he say anything, or was he just paranoid?
No, didn't say a word to her. She was
paranoid.
She didn't like the fact because she's obviously gun control nut.
Yeah.
Guy staring at her. Well, look, bitch, you might have your tits hanging out. Of course, there's nothing.
Some people just staring and not even thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're a woman, some people might like the way you look.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls the cops. So there's that slippery slope. I mean, that's not the slippery slope.
Sure.
That is the taking of our guns.
I do believe sales will always increase, though. I think we're one place where no matter how many gun-free zones they put up or stores that don't sell them, the stores that do will just sell more.
Well, the stores are going to be shut down. They're going to take advantage of closing the loophole that allows the stores to sell to people who don't really need background checks. If you're from out of town in some locales, if I'm correct, they'll shut those down. All them, they'll set off a false flag, and they'll make people say, "Shut down the stores! Shut down the stores!" Yeah. And what will happen?
But really, if everybody, is armed, and I'm all for Second Amendment. But if everybody is on, everybody doesn't know what the hell is going on in this world. They think it would just be chaos.
There will be without the guns. Do you know, has anybody heard of Wayne Farnsworth?
Hmm.
You got to look him up on YouTube. He explains why semi-automatic weapons are absolutely necessary and how he goes about it. He was talking about the riots in L.A. a few years back, and plus the riots with the guy King. There were also riots in L.A. where people grabbed their guns and started looting. There was one particular section in L.A. of all North Koreans. They had semi-automatic weapons. Nobody robbed them.
Korean store?
Yeah, Korean stores. Korean stores, you're right.
Yeah.
And nobody robbed them because they just went outside with the semi-autos and nobody even tried because of looting, because of marches in the street, which go wrong because of infiltrators. You need semi-automatics. So he's not just saying.
I mean, the police are on like military now, so, if things did go rogue that way, someone's not going to have a chance with a simple handgun anyway.
Right.
But if you really get into it, if you get into the research and development of DARPA and the kind of things that they really have,
oh my God,
the real problem is you need to decrease the amount of pawns that fight for them and take our side, because if you don't minimize the pawns in the game, even if we have assault rifles, I don't think they have a chance against what they have.
Are you saying that
we can hold out for a while? But I think we would have more death tolls.
Oh, yeah,
in this country that we ever had if it came to a head.
Yeah, if what you're saying is that even though we have millions of guns, it wouldn't really...
What are we going to do against the airstrike?
Yeah, there you go. I'm with that. Because there's no we don't have
that.
A general that's going to coordinate an armed uprising. Everybody, there's going to be warlords who are going to compete for that particular position. Plus, the American people, even though we have millions of guns, we're going to run out of ammo.
Yes, and all this is discussed by people in think tanks. Believe me, all of this stuff has been discussed. These scenarios, Agenda 21, all of these things. Get people into a concentric circle and all of these things, all of these things where we could be looking from the ground, they can be looking from above.
Helicopters, satellites,
So I really think I really think the agenda is to sell more guns, have a more police, even a more of a police militarized state, and there's huge contracts on security, surveillance.
Yeah.
So when people talk about Donald Trump putting up a wall, the real money will be in the surveillance company.
Mm.
That's where all the money is going to be, and they already have a company, that is ready to be there once if the wall is built, and that's Elbit Systems, which is a company from Israel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, talking about Israel.
And Sheldon Adelson in Vegas is definitely going to make a mint after what happened in Vegas.
Why, is he a casino owner because of the surveillance? Oh, is he somebody who sells CCTV?
He's also a casino owner, but he has investments in surveillance. Of course, Michael Chertoff. Michael Chertoff is everywhere.
Oh, Chertoff, former Homeland Security. I'm a dual citizenship guy. Get him the fuck out of here. I'm surprised he's not mayor of Chicago like
Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never let a crisis go to waste in Sanctuary City.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. The people that are in the Bush and Clinton administrations. I hope that Trump turns out to be somebody who's really for America, because he's impressing me, I'll tell you that. But in any case...
I can tell you is I was born and raised in Queens, and I knew about him, in the days when, he couldn't put up a building without the permission of Fat Tony Salerno and people like that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, being in the construction industry, he laid in bed with the good old Goombas from New York.
He wasn't the alpha male in that room.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
So, and I just think it's the kosher Nostra now. I don't even know what happened to the Italian mafia.
They're still around. It's like saying when the wall came down, when Reagan, with his famous proclamation, Gorbachev, tear down this wall, like all of a sudden communism ended. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. No. But who's the capo? We used to at least know who the capo was.
Yeah, well, they're taking advantage of the college graduates. They're spawning college graduates in the mafia now. It's no longer the Black Hand that came over from Sicily, and then as a result had to congregate together to get their little.
John Gotti Jr. went to the same military school as Donald Trump. Obviously, not at the same time, but they actually went to the same school. Once they asked John Gotti Jr., they said, was your father involved, with the drug trade? And he said in court, he says, come on, that's the operation of the CIA.
Well, he's right about that, and also...
Yes, he is.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be able to get their product through the door unless the mob had the ports all lined up for them. So, the Cosa Nostra got their taste, too, so...
I dated the sister of one of John Gotti Jr.'s best friends. And one thing he told me is that when this guy played sports, you better let him beat you.
Yeah.
Make it look like it was,
like
actual
you really
competition.
Didn't fall down,
yeah,
know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking, if you're dating somebody from that lineage,
yeah.
You know, you had to watch out, too, because, you know.
Yeah, I got sucker punched by a made man one time when I was playing basketball. He couldn't break glass, but I had 12 people surrounding me if I was to make another move.
That's right.
He bloodied my mouth. I spit blood out. I was about to head towards him, and they just told me, you know, this guy's a made man. I don't think you want to do it.
Nah, me, I would stay clear. You know, but, you know.
Back in those days when you win, you lose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the reason we don't hear about them anymore is because they're smart enough now not to get in the news. Like Gotti.
I just feel like Donald Trump is every guy I ever met in Queens, minus the bank account.
Well, that's one of the reasons he got elected, because he's a blue-collar billionaire.
Well, think about this. What do you think he really thinks about people in the Midwest and the South?
I don't think he gives a rat's ass.
Of course he doesn't. He thinks they're a bunch of inbreds.
Yeah.
They watch NASCAR, they drink beer, and they wave a flag.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what I want to tell them.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is not stupid. That's the biggest mistake, and that's the deception of the left-wing media. They know he's not stupid. Trump was from the Hollywood crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They know him. Nobody ever said anything bad about him but Rosie O'Donnell. What are Hollywood? They're actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was on Saturday Night Live. He was on The View. I mean...
Oh, sure.
And they just thought it was kind of, oh, Donald. You know, that's just Donald being Donald. But it was no big deal. Then he becomes president or runs for president, and the whole tone changes.
Well,
you know,
I don't know about that. I think everybody hated him except the people who voted for him. I mean, the poor guy.
Well, he was a womanizer before he was president, and nobody said anything.
Well, nobody should have said anything.
Yeah. But that's my point.
Yeah.
All these
people
that are saying things about him now, I mean, they knew it before.
Well, how about, look, there's a girl who was one of the Me Too movement bitches. And she made these allegations against Franco, who I don't like. But the thing is, she said, you know, even after that, I voted for him. So I'm wondering to myself, if you voted for a guy that you're making this allegation against, what does that say about your mentality? What does that say about your emotional strength or lack thereof? What does that say about you, you dumb broad?
I think all of these allegations against people in Hollywood, I don't think any of these will lead to an indictment. I think it is part of psychological operations. It's pretty much...
Well, it is a psyop in order to
try. From being men. They don't want men to be men anymore.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You have to fill out a consent form to make a pass.
That's exactly right. I know. You're being literal. And as a matter of fact...
Feminizing male society and making women the opposite.
Yeah.
And what happens? Less people procreate. Depopulation.
Uh-huh. And in line with what you just said, there's a few companies that have adopted a policy, whereas if a guy asks a woman out, if she says no, he cannot ask her out again. Now, he's allowed to ask her out the first time, but can't ask her out again. Now, everything is in the pocket.
The one strike rule.
Yeah,
wow.
That's right.
There's a lot of...
You know, it is. It's about dividing up men versus women, having women come on top. You know, blacks versus whites, Hispanics versus everybody, Asians versus everybody. Why? So discord.
And all we get are uploaded videos all over the internet that want us to believe that a few instances represent the entirety of a race, whether it's white, black, or anything else. It's not. I always say you got to deal with people on a case by case basis. That's the only way you're going to know.
Mm-hmm. But people will
absorb. We get pushed into ultimatums that they call choices.
Mm-hmm.
There is a middle ground.
If people
it's
know
like
it.
Saying you're with the terrorists or you're against the terrorists.
How about I'm not
buying into it?
Yeah, that's Bush's old line.
They want to, one side, the side that, there's reverse psychology that goes on. The people that want to scream racism, you know, are pushing cultural Marxism, but on the opposite end, they're pushing towards isolationism. Neither is good. They're both divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, people don't realize that. The people who are the social justice weenies, they're thinking, well, I'm not being included in your group, so I'm going to form my group, which means it's creating isolationism. Everybody's creating their own groups. Plus the government, the local government, has already come out with a policy where they're trying to, this has happened over in England, but I think it's happening here now as well. They're encouraging people not to have best friends. Okay, at the age of 5, 6, and 7, they're encouraging the kids not to have best friends. Become inclusive, kids. Join the other people. Well, if they wanted you, you would have joined them already.
The thought police.
There you go.
That's communism in its top form.
Yeah. Everything's been happening.
No doubt about
it. Yeah.
But then you've got the other side over there, written first. You know, they act like they're nationalists, but it's just the opposite. It is to push for isolationism as well. While, you know, you have your provocateurs on the other side that make it feel like everybody is trying to mongrelize society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always somewhere in the middle, but we get pushed to go one way or the other.
But the thing is, we shouldn't be pushed. If we could, but the thing is, we're not employers of critical thinking. They don't teach that in school. There is no high school that I know of in the country whereby they teach as a formal.
College.
Huh?
They taught me in a community college, and I learned it.
What, critical thinking? It's
critical
formal
thinking
course?
And analysis and logic. It was a community college, Queensborough Community College.
Really?
I had a liberal arts degree, which is, I call, the Jeopardy degree.
Yeah.
Because you can't really get a job out of it.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot of things.
Well, that's in community college, but not in high school or in middle school.
Where minds are being formed.
There you go. We're going through our formative stages, and what are we learning? Transgenderism, Common Core. Get away from me. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys go. I got to get out of here. All right. Have a good weekend, people.
You too.
Bye-bye.
What a tangled web we weave. You okay there, Austin? I don't have a switchboard, so we have dead air right now. We just need a caller. Well, we have dead air right now, but if anybody's listening, we are obviously in a world of turmoil, but it's hard to know what's the truth, what isn't the truth. And, we try to trust websites, but, you know, there's so many slippery slopes. And if you look at what's attached to some of these links that people send, it's equivalent to the National Enquirer.
It kind of takes away from the integrity of what people are trying to convey. It could even be something that's true, but it hurts, you know, it hurts the credibility of it when you see the clickbait that is attached to it. It's kind of weird not being able to have a caller, we'll push on anyway. It does seem lately like ISIS has been out of the picture. We're not hearing much of anything from them. And, it just seems like there's some kind of it's like a script, and they put some ideas on pause. Then they start rolling out another agenda. And then when they want to put something that they put on pause into an agenda, they do. It just seems like, you know, nothing is real time, nothing is spontaneous, everything is premeditated. They find a way to make it look like it's something current, and the script just rolls on and on. And as I said earlier, with that Smith Modernization Act of 2012, they just keep, you know, perpetuating the same thing over and over again. And some of us will argue amongst each other whether it's a false flag where some people die or a complete hoax. And I'm kind of leaning towards a complete hoax once I can see that nobody is culpable in any of these things, and it's legal to disseminate this propaganda. And, you know, with the school shootings, I just do not find it believable when we see the reactions of parents who are standing around like cigar store Indians. I mean, it's insane that people still believe these things. I don't know. It just seems like they can just keep pushing the same thing over and over again, and people will still be emotionally blackmailed and think you are being cold and callous if you tell them nobody died. And every now and then you come across somebody that says, you know, they know somebody that died, which happened, you know, to me personally, because my niece lost a friend in Orlando, and I thought that was a complete hoax. So sometimes it's a combination of a hoax and a false flag. That's probably the case in Vegas as well. You know, as they show us these uploaded videos, live cam, is that the name of it? And, you know, there are people with bright red blood lying on the floor. And if most of you know, blood oxidizes and gets darker as soon as it leaves your body. I mean, it doesn't look bright red. That's not normal, especially if it was on the floor for a while. It hits the air, it oxidizes, it becomes darker. So I don't know where Austin is. I've been trying to get in touch to his wife because he's been banned from Facebook. So I tried to send her a message to see if Austin could get somebody on the air, because unfortunately I don't have control of the switchboard. So I'd like to have open dialogue, but obviously I can't, because all I can do is have a monologue. But if you're still listening, it's just crazy what we're going through, and it's like an episode of the Twilight Zone, except it's real, but it's not real in some cases. And somewhere between the simulation and the reality, we have to keep our wits about and follow the patterns that lead up to all of these so-called events that we go through. And you know, the news is going to spin it, you know, right wing, left wing. And we're supposed to believe that the heads of these corporate-owned networks don't communicate with each other on how they're going to, you know, throw their BS out to the vassals. And that's what we are. They see us as consumers, not human beings. We're people that buy their products, and they want us to think the way they want us to think. They want us all to be cookie cutters. I guess that's the best way to put it. You know, and they want everybody to follow the herd. And if you actually think for yourself, you know, you're the renegade, you're the outlaw, you're the one that is a danger to society. You're the potential lone wolf in society. The list goes on and on. And we get caught in the crossfire because some of us are the people that can see through this entire facade, and we are not going to be looked at too well, because people like to hold on to the old norms. They embrace those things. They don't want to break from the Matrix. And even the Matrix itself was a Hollywood production, and the good guy was named Zion. So what were the Wachowski brothers thinking when they made that? But I don't want to knock something that's the promo for the show. But there were things to learn from it. But that rabbit hole goes deeper. And it doesn't stop at what that the mainstream media is fake news. We have to really be careful what we put out as truth. And that's not easy. Almost every time I send something out, I'm almost remorseful. I'm like, man, how do I know? Why should I trust this source? You know, it's extremely hard. There's so many people that give us so much valid information. And, you know, I had a friend, Rebecca Roth, and she wrote two wonderful books at talk shows over these things. She was one of the major people to talk about Israel's involvement in 9/11 and all the explosives in the building, the bee thing using gelatin and the art students and all of those things. And I believed everything she said. And then she tried to tell me that Donald Trump was not a Zionist. And this guy has loved Israel his whole life. There's no doubt about that. And I called her out on it, and she blocked me because I had people from her fan base liking what I said. So it's rough because you can agree with people 99% of the time, and that 1% might be poison, and that's all it takes. You have people – what's the best way to explain this? You have to cherry pick. You have to cherry pick. You can buy a lot of the message, but sometimes, you know, as they're coming down the stretch, they will give you something that will completely deceive you. And I think that's what a lot of these gatekeeper websites are. Yeah, we know